Big part of the team is Bob Mancini, the assistant executive director of hockey development for USA Hockey. He joins Gord Stellick and Scott Locke on This Morning. How are you this morning, Bob?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. I love the walk-up music.
Well, that's it. We aim to please, so I'm glad. I'm glad we're off to a good start. We give Tyler Matarazz credit for that. And, you know, I go back way, way, way back when it would be a novelty. But, you know, last night, Cole Gutman gets his first career NHL goal with the Chicago Blackhawks. Ho-hum, yet another American from what used to be considered non-traditional hockey states. And it just speaks volumes about the growth over the years and decades.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, that phrase is so great, right? When we go back as far as we do and you hear that phrase about non-traditional. I mean, I am not even sure it's in our vocabulary anymore when we talk about hockey players from the United States. It certainly was back in the day, right? And yeah, we look at it and we see it. But I'm so glad you brought that up because that comes up at our player development camps. It comes up at our national championships. It comes up like it did right now and last night when we see players advance to the NHL. I'm not so sure there is a non-traditional hockey area anymore in the United States, and that's so exciting for all of us.
Yeah, Jackson Stauber, too, from Minnesota, of course. Rob's son steps in and wins a game last night, too. He's played in a bunch of games and has done well so far in the first handful to start his career. And yeah, non-traditional. Yeah, we talk about non-traditional too, Bob. I mean, you look at what happened in Carolina going back to Saturday night, right? Like 57,000 fans outdoors at the NC State football stadium. A pretty good representation, I think, as to how that game has taken off. And as you say, made that non-traditional moniker perhaps a little bit obsolete. Where do you think, just general question, Bob, the game is at now? Hockey Week across America has been such a great success for so many years now. Just a general overview as to where you think the game is at now in its development and progression here in the last 25 years or so.
Yeah, I know it's not, it's never been in a better place than it is right now. And, you know, certainly what happened in Carolina is a great example of that. USA Hockey, we have a great partner, or we're great partners with the NHL, and we're seeing with all the teams in the NHL, hockey is happening everywhere. We have great initiatives that are now embraced all over the United States, like Hockey Week across America, which, you know, started out as Hockey Day, right? And it's grown over the years, and we have such great participation. And there are so many initiatives that happen out of USA Hockey and happen at our clubs and our associations in every state, really. And, you know, something like Hockey Week across America, things like Try Hockey for Free, just continues to not only increase our numbers here in the United States, but really increase as a snapshot or put hockey in the forefront of sports all across the U.S.
Yeah, and you know, that is one of the ones that's always jumped out at me, that people so keen to play but never got the chance, so they can at least for a day do it at no cost. But again, that remains the challenge, doesn't it, about the grassroots and the expense of the game. And I know it's something we all work to remedy, but it still remains a challenge.
It is a challenge, and we can't ever keep take our eye off the fact that we have to find ways to make hockey less expensive. But, you know, the bottom line is, really what we have to do is find ways to bring kids into the game, make them love it, create that passion, and then leverage that passion as we go out into the communities and say, hey, this is great for kids, right? This is a great avenue that we could have your kids in, every kid in. And okay, how can we make it better? And how can we reduce the cost? But you know, when they start, the cost is not a factor. Cost becomes a factor as they go through the phases of the game or the ages of the game. You know, we have more kids than ever playing hockey in the United States. Once again, we have over 100,000 players at the 8U level. It's great when we have initiatives like Try Hockey for Free. It's even greater when we can use an initiative like Try Hockey for Free and then have those kids sign up and stay in the game, because it becomes, or it moves from membership and registration to retention. And that is such a big focus for what we're doing right now at USA Hockey.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, too, Bob, the last 25 years, how things have changed. Like, I always hearken back to the late 1990s and the national team developmental program starting up in Ann Arbor. I guess it's since moved to Plymouth. But, you know, just your thoughts and being involved in that from the outset to try to get that NTDP up and running. Because for me, that was such a game changer. And after that, you started to see, you know, the U.S. go on in a couple of years' time, when the first ever World Junior gold that they had back in 2004. They've won a bunch of gold medals since, always entering the World Junior Hockey Championship, for sake of this discussion, as a medal favorite, as a gold medal favorite, even in some instances. You know, you see at the draft all the first round picks that are coming out of USA Hockey now, too. When you look back on it now, starting it up, the NTDP, and seeing what it's really blossomed into here and mushroomed into here over the years, it's got to make you really, really proud, because that was a game-changing moment.
Tremendously proud, and you know, a highlight really of the years I spent in hockey and the career I've had at all levels. You know, looking back, it wasn't easy, right? It had a tremendous number of detractors inside and outside of USA Hockey. But you know, we had this vision. We were strong in the conviction that this could be a great thing. We knew it was what USA Hockey needed at that time to push forth our highest levels of players, or our best players. We had to find an avenue where we could do a better job, really, at that time, of developing. What we didn't have was the numbers we have now. Now, we had the conviction, we had this dream, we had this vision. I can sit here and tell you that, you know, Jeff Jackson and I, Scott Monahan, Greg Cronin, we would sit around and talk about, this is going to be a great thing. I'm not sure any of us really knew the extent of what it would become. But, you know, even back then, we had good players. The U.S. had great players. I look in those first couple of years, and these names are unfamiliar to a lot of people. They'll be familiar to both of you, but Jordan Leopold, Tanabe, Hainsey, DiPietro, Nystrom, Tomasarek. These were all first-round picks. John Michael Lyles wasn't a first-round pick, goes on to a great career. Andrew Hutchinson, Andy Hilbert. I mean, all of these names were in the first 2 to 3 years of the program. So the United States had good players. We just didn't have the abundance of good and great players that you're seeing now. So much credit goes to the National Team Development Program, to what it's become, to the help we got from the NHL, from our grassroots volunteers to make it what it is today. But really, the exciting thing now is players in the United States. We go back to what we talked about earlier, non-traditional. Players in the United States can come from anywhere, and we have a lot of them now.
Bob Mancini joining us on NHL Morning Skate. He's with USA Hockey. It's Hockey Week across America. Now, of course, you played at Colorado College. You coached at Ferris State, Michigan Tech, other places as well. And one thing I realized as a kid, I had some really nice coaches, but we got no coaching, you know, when you're a little kid, as far as any kind of went. So nowadays, I know that's a big part of, and again, the balance of the technical side, maybe overcoaching, maybe about the hockey experience being as important to the kids as much as things on the ice. And what's your approach in 2023?
Well, it certainly has changed from back in the day. That's I appreciate you mentioning those things. But, boy, if I would have known then what I know now, I think we all feel that way. Coaching, like playing, has evolved, right? Just like the equipment has evolved, just like the game has evolved. And our coaching program has evolved with the game over the last however many years you want to go back to. But some of our biggest changes really right now, we're very excited about. About 4 years ago, we went down this road of changing the entire structure of our coach education program. And we've changed it from a program that concentrated on what to coach, and now it concentrates on how to coach. And I think that speaks to your question. right? We talk to our coaches about building relationships. We talk to our coaches about letting it be the player who makes decisions on the ice. Let it be everything we do is player-centered and never coach-centered. Coaches can get the X's and O's anywhere. They can get the what to. Everybody has their own go-to place for what to. Everybody has different feelings, how to play the game, the X's and O's, the systems. But the how to, how can we get 60,000-plus youth coaches to really learn how to share knowledge with the players and put the players in an environment where they can get better? So that was the first thing. The second thing is we changed how we teach our coaches. We've now we've done a lot of research, and we're very much into what is right for how you teach adults. What does the adult learning process look like? How can we make the information that's important to our coaches stick so they leave a coaching clinic and then they use it on the ice? And the third thing, because we're very proud of the quality of programming, is, you know, in the United States and at USA Hockey, every single youth coach must take coach education. And our goal, and it has been for years, is to make those youth coaches change the phrase in their mind or change what they're thinking from, oh, I have to take coaching education, to I really want to take coaching education. And that has been some of the most exciting things that have happened at USA Hockey over the last 5 or 10 years.
That's a great point. And back in the day, it used to be, you know, a parent of a defenseman would operate the gate for the defenseman, and a parent of the forward would operate the gate and open the door for the players to go on and off up front as well. So that's great to see that the advents have been put in place to make sure that coaching gets better, just as officiating can get better as well. And look, Bob, I mean, let's face it, you know, at times, especially when it comes to youth sports, we've seen all the disgusting videos and hearing about all these disgusting stories about how young up-and-coming officials in any sport have been treated over the years. And, you know, there might have been a reluctance at some point to get involved in sports. I know it's been a bit of a struggle at many different levels of hockey to make sure that the officiating pipeline continues. Tell us about the officiating task force that came about 18 months ago, the creation of that, and how that's helped maybe increase the numbers to the officials. Because let's face it, the games cannot go on without the referees and linesmen and lineswomen and referees that drop the pucks and make the penalty calls, of course, to have these games competitive.
Yeah, you know, it has partnership. And I give a lot of credit to our president, Mike Tromboli, to our executive director, Pat Kelleher, to, you know, the people who are on our executive committee and our board of directors that recognize that, as you said, in order for us to have a game, we have to have officials. In order for us to have a good product, we have to have a partnership. And that really is what the officiating task force really realized. What we saw, the directions we went down, is how can we create this partnership and increase or better improve the youth hockey environment. We have to change the environment. One thing we have to do is we have to give the youth sports back to the youth. It can't be about the adults, the parents, the coaches, even the officials. Everything we do, we have to do for the kids. Every change we make, we have to ask ourselves, is this good for the children? And if it is, then we need to go down the road. And certainly making our officiating part of the youth hockey community and not an outsider to the game is a big start. So we realized early on that there were a lot of different avenues we had to discuss, and there were some strong initiatives we have to take. But really the overall message of the overall task was, how do we bring everybody together and make the environment better? And there are ways we do that, right? Sometimes we have to legislate, right? We have to put punishments in or things that really curb some of the bad behavior. But I think it's also worth noting that some of that bad behavior that you mentioned, we have to put into context. When we look in the United States at the number of players the number of coaches, the number of officials, and the number of games, we have problems in less than 2% of our hockey, right? Now, we shouldn't have any problems at all. I'll be the first one to say that. But we have to stop glorifying the problems. We have to take care of them, but we have to continue to make hockey even better for the 98% of the people who do abide by going to a rink with the idea of, hey, this is for kids and this should be fun. So I know I gave you a general answer, and there are some initiatives. In fact, one we stole from one of the associations in Ontario called the Green Armband Initiative that we're looking to pilot in different places in the United States. And we've also put in place some education opportunities for our parents, our coaches, and our officials to get on the same page and continue to make the game better.
Well, Bob, like we said, congratulations, all the great work, and looking forward to a great week ahead. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Bob Mancini is the Assistant Executive Director of USA Hockey, Hockey Week across America, and we will celebrate it with them throughout the week.